I'm Boutros, Boutros Ghali. Put down your gun and listen to...
Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
Welcome to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And you can listen to us online at www.citr.ca. I'm your co-host, Fleur. Unfortunately, flying solo tonight as Christian is away with work. And for the next probably month, we're not going to hear Christian's voice, unfortunately. He's busy away working at the moment. But don't stress out, because he is sending me some music my way. So that means at least, even though he's not here, he is here in spirit and music. We just heard Vancouver's own Tegan and Sarah with their song Don't Rush from their album Sainthood last year. It was released, and I love that album. It's such a great poppy album. They're actually playing at the Malcolm Bowl on September 24th, which would be, it'll be an amazing gig. The Malcolm Bowl's beautiful and the girls rock out. The reason we chose Tegan and Sarah to start off the show tonight is that we have a little bit of a Tegan and Sarah smorgasbord for you guys later on. I was lucky enough to talk to Tegan on the weekend, last weekend, so I will not say too much more about the interview. I'll leave that there, and I'll talk more about it a little bit later on when we play it. In the meantime, I'm going to keep with the music going, the theme going, and let you guys vibe out. I don't need to talk too much today. The next album that we're going to be listening to is from a band called Koshin. Koshin are a British trip-hop drum and bass rock group based in Bristol, England, where it seems like a lot of great trip-hop bands have come from, including Massive Attack, Morcheeba and Portishead. So here's another one of the Bristol alumni. This is from their first album, Resist, which was released in September 2001. I know it's an oldie, but it's a really great song. That album actually released reached number 8 in the UK album chart. So Cochin do have a definite following around. I found when I was doing some looking into Cochin, I found out that they had to. This is a pretty interesting little story, and I'm pretty happy that they did this. And it's interesting because you never know where you're performing or where you're, you know, the history behind a building. But in 2007, Cochin cancelled a gig at a former Nazi death camp in Belgrade's Posidian Hall. The band discovered that the venue used to be part of a World War II Nazi death camp, which is just horrific. I can't even imagine, you know, walking into something like that where it's now turned into a music venue, you know, for people to enjoy themselves when there was so much horror and hurt and death there. So the hall was part of the San Gimisti concentration camp site during the conflict. Around 48,000 Jews, Serbs and Gypsies were killed there, which is a horrific number. The band released this statement saying, Cochin have been distressed and sorry to learn in the past few days of Postian's Hall's former use. If Cochin had known its true history, they would never have agreed to play in the venue and as such have cancelled their show, which really shows a lot of people that, you know, if you're against things like that and you find out that you're going to be playing or performing in a venue that has these horrendous stories behind it, I've got to really, you know, give Cochin props for actually not performing there. And it's just another testament of, you know, the great knowledge of history and what, you know, each building might have in store or what story it might hold in there. So on that note, we're going to pump it up with Hide You from Cochin on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. Enjoy.
I love you. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to present music from the Enchanted Evenings concert series at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in Vancouver. On Friday, August 6th, CITR will be broadcasting a live performance by Silk Road Music from 7:30 till 9 p.m. Juno-nominated Silk Road Music blends classical Chinese music with modern rhythms. You can also tune in Mondays, 4 to 5 p.m., to hear performances recorded live at the Enchanted Evenings concert series. On Monday, July 26th, we'll feature music from multi-percussionist Ocean of Sound. On August 2nd, we'll have music from the Vancouver Piano Ensemble. And lastly, on August 9th, you'll hear a rebroadcast of Silk Road Music. Tune in to CITR 101.9 FM or head along to see these performances for yourself at the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Classical Chinese Garden in downtown Vancouver. For more information, go to citr.ca.
my suitcase packed this way. I'm not ignoring, I'm just not.
Listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And you just heard Sweden's own Shout Out Loud with their song Too Late, Too Slow from their album from last year, Work. I can't get enough of this album. I love this album. I've not heard of the Shout Out Louds till about 5 months ago, and it's pretty much on high rotation on my iPod. They have done a little bit of work around breast cancer benefit concert with them. Their song, when they were on One Tree Hill, they performed a song called Please, Please, Please that was put out as a benefit sampler with all the incoming profits from the One Tree Hill Volume 2 album went straight to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. So that was pretty cool. In the middle there, we heard Matt and Kim, and that was for my friend Quickie, who's out in the... oh my gosh, I don't know where he is, in the back and badlands of Ontario looking for gold. He was so excited about Matt and Kim coming to play the Rickshaw on September 27th that I had to play it for him today because I know he's feeling lonely out there. So Quickie, if you can hear me, I hope you enjoyed it. If you don't know about Matt and Kim, they're a dance punk duo from Brooklyn. They were formed in 2004, and their second album, Grand, was released in January of last year. I haven't seen them live yet, unfortunately. I'm going to try and make it down to the Rickshaw on September 27th. But all reports from their show that they had at the Biltmore last year was just high energy, sweat fest, dance floor, extraordinarily amazing. So I think they just rock it like there's no tomorrow. And if you are looking to find out more about Matt and Kim, check them out on the internet and then go and buy a ticket, because the Rickshaw show, I can guarantee, will be amazing. Now we're going to have a... Today you're in for a pretty big treat. Tegan from Tegan and Sarah spoke to me from the road last Saturday. She was down in... they were down in Pennsylvania. And she's made us an Are You Aware mixtape. We've had a few artists do an Are You Aware mixtape for us, which we're really excited about and honoured. So we've had Free Flow do a mixtape for us. We've had Xavier Rudd do one, Michael Franti, and now, finally, the ladies get to have a go with Tegan and Sarah. If you don't know what the premise around Are You Aware mixtapes, we ask artists to choose three songs that inspire them to be involved in social justice and philanthropic endeavours, and then they get to choose one of their own songs that mirror their sentiments around social justice. So, like I said, the ladies are currently on their US-Canadian summer tour, with their last date being the Malcolm Bowl on September 24th. Like I said before, will be a great show. Tegan and Sarah are definitely one of Canada's most prominent musical exports in the last few years. They've been releasing brilliant albums since 1999. They tour, you know, extensively around the world, including my home country in Australia. And last year, I think one of their songs got into the Triple J Hottest 100, which is a national poll in Australia from an independent radio station. Everyone gets to vote what independent music they liked, and it's a pretty big deal in Australia. So I think they got in the like 95 or something. So congratulations to them. They've released six albums, with the most recent being Sainthood. So yeah, sit back and enjoy Tegan's Are You Aware mixtape, and it's such a great interview. We're doing it in parts. It was a 25-minute interview, so I thought I'll mix it up with some music and interviews, and she honestly is one of the most eloquent female musicians I've had the pleasure to speak to in a long time, and she has some really important stuff to say. So I hope you enjoy it, because I loved talking to her, and she's really nice. So yeah, enjoy Tegan and Sarah on Are You Aware, 101.9 on CITR in Vancouver. So thanks for talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So you guys have been about 2 weeks into your summer tour. How has it been so far?
You know, it's been really good. I mean, Sarah and I haven't gone out and done festivals in the summer in a long time, and we started out in Europe for 3 weeks doing festivals and our own shows, and then had a couple weeks off, and then joined this big Honda Civic tour, which is Paramore and us and Newfound Glory and Catawassa. Those bands are all kind of like pop punk bands, and they're a lot heavier, and, you know, specifically Paramore, I mean, they're a massive band, you know, playing to 8,000 or 10,000 people a night. So it was a good tour for us, but also, you know, it was daunting. We haven't done that in a long time, and, you know, we've been touring for 12 years, and so we're pretty used to headlining at this point, and this was a great opportunity to get us in front of a new audience, but it's also, you know, as I said, it's daunting to stand in front of a new audience, and especially when the bands that are playing are so different than us, but I think that's to our advantage. I think we're really standing out and making new fans, and so it's good. I mean, I'm definitely starting to feel less nervous, and I'm starting to enjoy myself a bit more, so...
After 12 years, this should be you should be an old hat at this.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm definitely an old hat at touring and an old hat at touring our own shows, but getting up in front of 10,000 people who don't know who you are is not something that I'm accustomed to even at this point, so...
Fair enough. I guess it reminds you of back being when you were sort of playing local shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, or more like, you know, when we started out, we, you know, went and opened for The Killers and Neil Young and lots of bands like that. You know, we were playing to 15,000 people, but it's been, you know, nearly a decade since we've done that. So, it's pretty scary, but it's a lot of fun. It's a good challenge for us, and after so many years of being in a band, it's inspiring. I mean, you get up there and use completely different muscles, and your brain is, you know, overheated by the end of the show because you're really working pretty hard, so it's great.
Is it a different mindset you have to go into when you're, like, one of about 10 to 20 bands on a festival bill compared to, like you say, being the headliner?
Yeah, I was saying yesterday we did Glastonbury, which is, you know, this giant festival. Most people recognize the name but don't even know how big it really is. I mean, like, almost 300 bands play it over 3 days. Or, you know, with festival support staff and volunteers, there's almost 300,000 people there, and for the weekend camping and hanging out, and it's like nothing we've ever seen in North America. Like, not even, you know, not even Burning Man or Shambhala touch it. It's absolutely mind-boggling to see. It's like a, you know, a decent-sized city. It's and it just pops up for the weekend. It's crazy. So, and yeah, it's actually really good for the ego. It puts you sort of back on evil or even playing field. You know, you realize that you're just one of 300,000 people, and it doesn't matter how cool your band is or how cool you think it is. You really are just one of those bands you pull out. You know, of the festival, and you look back and you see all these people just existing without you, and it's kind of a bigger metaphor for life, I suppose.
I guess it puts you into perspective. And I mean, I've been to Glastonbury, God, I won't say how long ago, but a while ago.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, yeah, and when we went, it was the first Mudfest, so to speak, in a long time.
Oh, wow.
You've played Sasquatch at the Gorge, which is a beautiful site to play at this year, as well as Glastonbury. For you, what's the best festival you've ever played at, and why?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, they're all so different. I mean, it sounds like you've been to a lot of them, so you'd know this. Like, you know, something like the Sasquatch Festival, I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. The Gorge is incredible, and the site is just, you know, awe-inspiring. I mean, it's just incredible to be there. But it's a much smaller festival. I think that they sell maybe close to 18,000 tickets, so it's, you know, a fraction of the size. So it feels more intimate, which I really like, and I don't feel as dirty by the end of it, so I like that too. But, you know, I mean, I love Glastonbury. I mean, in terms of the history, it was just neat to be a band that plays Glastonbury. But, yeah, I love Coachella too. I mean, it's bloody hot, but it's really neat to be at a festival in the desert. We did Lollapalooza when I came back a few years ago, and again, like, that's, you know, another one that was like, oh, yeah, check that off the list. You know, we grew up with Lollapalooza, so it was incredible to be asked to be there. So they're all different. I mean, you definitely got to be ready and prepared for it. It's hard. It's different. It's a different kind of work, you know, headlining your own show. It's, you know, you arrive and you know all the staff and you are setting up the stage for you and you get a sound check and the audience is there for you. And there's sort of like a rhythm that comes with playing a headlining show. And when you're at a festival, you kind of get there and it's just a free for all. You kind of just go. You're like, okay, where's the food? Can we get to shower today? No. Okay. Like, is there any bathrooms? Okay. Like, you kind of wing it. And then it's like you get the stage 20 minutes before you play. So usually you take, you know, 5 or 6 hours to set up the show. And at a festival, you'll have 20, maybe 30 minutes if you're lucky to get everything on stage, make sure it's all working, and then play. And it can be very daunting.
See, as an audience member, we think you're all out the back drinking Moët Chandon and chatting about music.
Yeah. That happens after, but not before.
Fair enough.
CITR is proud to support the Victory Square Music Festival on Saturday, August 14th, hosted by Crab Water for Life Society and CFRO 102.7's Radio Vancouver. This one-day free outdoor festival features live music by local bands. Acts performing include Parlor Steps, Waltz Darling, and The Van Nuys 3. It's in Victory Square Park at Canby and Hastings from 2 to 5pm on Saturday, August 14th, and is completely free. For more information, go to citr.ca or search Victory Square Fest on Facebook.
You're listening to the Are You Aware interview with Tegan from Tegan and Sarah on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. Downloading music becomes the norm and traditional record sales decrease. Is extensive touring and performing at festivals the only way you think bands can economically survive?
Yeah, I mean, well, in the last 5 years, I would have said yes. I mean, now, because it's the only way to make money, there's so many bands touring that even touring has gotten to the point where it's difficult. I mean, a lot of bands are experiencing low record sales, but then they go out on the road to tour to make money, and then, you know, ticket sales are down because all of a sudden there's not 20 big, you know, tours coming through town. There's 40. I mean, like, it's crazy when you look at these tour schedules now. We'll go to a venue, and there'll be a show every day of the summer, and so... you know, the internet is, you know, it just continues to trickle down and affect everything. You know, I think that touring is still, whether or not people are selling lots of tickets or not, I mean, touring is still a great way to get your music out there. And as we're doing the summer, you know, it's a great way to get in front of a new audience when you're doing festivals or opening for other people. So, but, yeah, a few years ago, it was the only way for us to make money. And now it's hard because there's just so many bands out here doing the same thing. You know, bands that would have never toured. I mean, back in the day, you know, unless you were like some giant pop star, you know, you wouldn't even bother to tour. And I follow, I'm on Twitter and I follow Pink, and she was talking about, she's this big U.S. tour, and she was like, this is the first time I've ever headlined. And I'm like, wow, like she's been around nearly 10 years, and she'd never headlined in the States. She'd just gone out with other artists or just, you know, people used to, like, someone like her who sold millions of records, they didn't need to tour. You know, they would go do some publicity and marketing and make videos, but, like, they didn't need to actually slog it out on the road. So it's, the world's changing for sure. Our industry is definitely becoming more complicated.
And how do you see the music industry evolving over the next 10 years?
Well, I mean, for Sarah and I mean, like, I think what we hope for is that we continue to see people buy our records just digitally now. So we're moving away from the hard product and seeing less significant push to push that hard product, even from the record label. You know, our stats are, I can't remember exactly what they are, but like I remember someone saying earlier this year, like, you know, most bands do 20 to 30, maybe 35% of their music digitally, and then we were up over 50%. So we seem to be part of that next movement of people wanting to just buy music directly to their computer and then transfer it to their iPod. So, so I'm hoping in the next 10 years we can make that move completely. I mean, obviously, I'm happy to do whatever people want, whatever's easiest for them to get our music, and digital seems to be the easiest right now. And certainly, like, I mean, I hope that people continue to see music as valuable. I mean, it's a, you know, it's an art form that I see moving towards people just thinking, oh, well, it's on the internet, so it's not worth anything. It's free. I can just take it, or I can pay 99 cents. I mean, shocking to me because I put everything I am and my heart, my soul, all my money, everything into our records so that people just take it for free. It feels like, I mean, you know, it'd be like if I went over your house and took your couch.
Exactly.
So, but it's cool. Like, if that's the way it's moving. I mean, I don't want to be a dinosaur. I want to move with the trend, and the trend is that people don't want to pay for it, or they want to pay very little. So you make do, and so we find other ways. We've just released a vinyl collection, so it's all of our records on vinyl, plus we went back and searched through our, you know, all of our demos, and we found 8 demos we really loved from our last 4 records and put it on vinyl as well. And so, you know, things like specialty items, tangible items that people can't download that they want to have. So people who collect vinyl, like, will collect this. And, you know, we put out a book set last year. Same thing, you know, we've sold nearly 22,000 books now. And that's crazy to me. But it's like, at the same time, I'm like, well, it's not crazy at all. I mean, you know, like, this is like this beautiful, awesome, you know, tangible item that you can't download, and of course some people will want this, so we find other ways to you know, sort of get that into people's hands. And so it's not records anymore, but there's still something to give them.
And I was just, it was funny that you mentioned your vinyl collection coming out. How did that make you feel? That's 12 years of music that your anthology looking through. Did you feel like the Beatles, kind of?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, time to retire. Yeah, it's kind of terrifying when we do these things. We're also in I can't remember exactly when we're releasing this, but in the next week or two, I'm sure there'll be an announcement, but we're putting everything we've ever done on iTunes as well. And a lot of it's there, but it's all separate, and you'll be able to buy our entire collection of music digitally, like all 6 records, all of our demos, all the videos associated with our record, the documentaries associated with our record, everything that was on our DVD, all of it. And it's so cheap, I can't even believe, I can't remember what it is, but it's like under $100.
Wow. And
so you can literally have a digital version of everything Sarah and I have ever done. And And when I look at it, I feel insane. I mean, I can't even believe how many years have passed, how quickly it's gone, how much we've done. I'm like, what else are we going to do? I'm having, like, for the first time in 14 years, I'm having writer's block, and I'm like, well, no wonder. Maybe I'm done.
I highly doubt that somehow.
I do, too. I'm just busy. Where I'm like, I wonder, have I said everything I want to say, or at least in this medium, you know?
You know, when we walk down the street, it seems like you be with your man and his eyes just turn every time a woman walk by, like he just can't even decide he's gonna get whiplash looking to her. Can't make up his mind. And I think I know this relationship the same way. I don't know. I think I might be just wasting my time. But you know what? Let me tell you, baby. I'm through with your window shopping, baby. I'm through waiting when you're gonna come around. I know the question if you love me. But I know the answer is you'll never settle down. Oh, boy.
you know, you say, have I said everything I needed to say? But I guess it's every day, and there's things changing in the world that you can comment on. And I've heard that you guys have been very vocal about Prop 8 down in California. You must be thrilled about the decision this week. For the listeners who don't know about Prop 8, can you tell them about it and what inspired you to get involved?
Well, you know, obviously Prop 8 was, you know, on the, you know, U.S. ballot or the presidential election ballot in California, and it was basically, you know, to overturn, you know, the sort of the, you know, the addition to the civil union laws about gay marriage. So basically gay people, in layman terms, because I'm like trying to sound smart and I'm like, ugh, I'm failing, so... Basically, they were basically getting everybody in California to vote on if gay people should be actually allowed to get married, because for a 3 or 4 month period, gay people were allowed to get married in California. And people thought it was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. They were like, of course no one's going to vote for that. They're going to vote no. And there was a lot of confusion in the way that it was worded on the ballot. There was major confusion in the campaign around it. I think so many people were apathetic about it because they just thought, it's California. No one's going to... you know, overturn this. And a lot of people, even gay people or the queer community, didn't really get that involved until the end. And there was a lot of money raised for the or from the, you know, from the church and from a lot of you know, right wing groups to campaign and confuse people. And so you know, they did vote for Prop 8 to be you know, or vote for Prop 8, and you know, people lost their rights to get married. And it was really strange, like, especially for me. I live in California most of the year, or part of the year, and most of the time when I'm there, I feel like people are very open-minded, and just like in Vancouver, I feel like there's, like, a community, and everybody's okay with it, and it was like, gay marriage is, you know, it's happening in California, and it's going to start spreading, and I was just like everybody else sitting on election night. I was absolutely shocked that people voted for it, and that, you know, gay people weren't allowed to get married anymore, and so I did, like most people, I went out and started talking about it, and I started going to the rallies and posting about it online and doing interviews, and you know, we allowed them to, you know, table at our shows and raise awareness, and so I was very excited to hear that, you know, that judge had, you know, said what he said about civil rights and about gay marriage, and, you know, it's one case, and it's not everything. It's not going to change the world, and it's not going to change America, but I think it's a step in the right direction. I think it was a proud moment for a lot of people in California and a lot of people in America, and certainly, you know, we're down here in the States, and we were pretty excited. We got on stage in Philly, and we dedicated a song to the judge, and everybody went crazy. So, I mean, I think it was felt all over the States, but, you know, it's going to go to appeals, and there's still going to be a lot of debate and a lot of questions about it, and I hope that Californians are, you know, remain... positive and remain involved, because there's definitely going to be a lot of resistance to this, and so we're going to stay involved and do our best. You know, we're not a political band, but we're political people, and being gay and living in the States, I mean, I have a girlfriend that lives in LA.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to marry her if I so choose. Mm-hmm. So you know, so we're definitely involved, but I think it's a confusing matter too, because we were very excited, but it is in the end. I mean, they will go to the Supreme Court now, and It's hard to think that our rights are up for debate, and it's also hard to think that this might end up on a ballot again, and you know, I really just disagree with the idea of, you know, the population voting on minority rights. It's just, it makes me feel like it's 1920, and it's upsetting.
Well, exactly, and that's what they said. They said that, you know, there's not been a ban at the Supreme Court about marriage since, you know, interracial marriage ban,
yeah,
40 years ago. And I mean, Americans pride themselves on being forward-thinking and giving everyone a fair go, so to speak. So it's just ludicrous what's happening down there.
It really is. I think it's important to focus. We're doing our best to focus on the positive, and I do think this is a huge step. No matter what happens, it's a huge step, and I really hope that I hope when it goes to the Supreme Court that the same thing happens, and I think it will change a lot, you know. And you know, so it's about staying involved. I think what happened around the election was that people, they got too sure of themselves, they got too confident that California is different, and it's like California is like everywhere else in the States. There's parts of it that are really progressive, and there's parts of it that are, you know, really traditional, and I think we need to try to figure out a way to balance the tradition with you know, this new age that we're in.
I guess it's about keeping stock of complacency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Canadians are bad for it, too. I mean, we like to pride ourselves on being so awesome and so progressive, but Canadians have that, you know, ability to become apathetic really quickly, and that's because we, we have a beautiful country that has, for the most part, done a lot of really awesome things, but it happens here, too. So, and I think Canadians being so close to America, we need to continue to stay involved and pay attention to what's happening down there right now and give as much support as we can.
Well, and definitely with the fact that, Canada, same-sex marriages are so common now that it's not even thought of as an issue.
It's really not. I mean, it definitely, and that was only, it really only became legal like 6 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tapes, tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girls. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
Sample. So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we're halfway through the Tegan interview from Tegan and Sarah. I just wanted to back announce a couple of songs that I put in there in the meantime before we listen to this, the next part of it. We had Uncle with their song Follow Me Down from their newest album, Where Did the Night Fall? Uncle is a British musical outfit founded in 1994 by school friends James Lavelle and Tim Goldsworthy. Originally categorized as trip-hop, the group once included producer DJ Shadow as well. During every album that they've released, they've employed a lot of different artists to be involved. And every album seems quite unique and different. A few albums ago, Science Fiction, that was a very electronic sound kinding album. And then this album is a lot more rocky, which I really actually enjoy. They have been involved in two benefit shows in the UK for the Afghanistan Red Cross and Red Crescent Appeal, so we have to give them props for that. And in there as well, we also had Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, one of Are You Aware's favourite albums at the moment. We are playing this on high rotation. Again, it's a pretty stellar album, so we want to give as much exposure as possible. This album was released this year. It's called I Learned the Hard Way, and the song that we heard was Window Shopping. They're a nine-piece funk and soul band from Brooklyn. They've signed to Daptone Records, where the Dap Kings are actually the house band. We've talked about this before. They shun modern digital technology. They would rather go for using traditional analog recording equipment to give that kind of very authentic, scratchy, funky soul album. And they've also been involved in the Red Hot organization that with their song compilation CD, Dark Was the Night, which raises money for HIV service organizations around the world. We're going to continue on with the Tegan and Sarah interview. We're actually coming up towards Tegan's mixtape in the next little while. But first, let's hear what she has to say about what charities that Tegan and Sarah have that are close to their hearts. So I hope you're enjoying the interview and we'll get back to it right now. You're listening to CITR on 101.9 in Vancouver. I wanted to talk about what other causes are close to your heart.
We change it up, from tour to tour, but we constantly are raising money and awareness. So, like a lot of our touring that we did last year was focused around Prop 8 and around, the sort of PETA and, we did some stuff with Oxfam and, in the States we were focusing on certain organizations, in the States. But when we're in Canada, we raised a ton of money for an organization in BC that gives money to kids to, do, music lessons and buy instruments and they're kids from lower income families or single parent families and stuff like that. So we try to be broad. We don't just pick one charity. I mean, one of my favorites that we ever raised money for was a group out of Montreal called P10, which was basically like a community center, which allowed for gay, bi, trans youth to come and hang out, and they really wanted to do a summer camp, and so we raised a ton of money and were able to send like a bunch of kids, like 30 kids or something, to summer camp. And you know, one of our designers was one of the camp counselors, and you know, like it was pretty heartwarming. Like their budget for the whole year, we were able to raise it so quickly, and that's I think something that Sarah and I have started to really try to wrap our minds around. Like, how can we find organizations that we can help make change immediately? Sometimes it can feel so, this, you know, ties into the apathy. It's like these bigger organizations where they're raising millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and it's like, where is it going? And am I really making a difference? Does $10 really help? And we try to pick organizations where it's like, if you come to one of our shows and you donate $2, it actually will make a difference. And some of these organizations that we're, you know, raising money for only need 10 grand to run the program for the whole year. And so we try to focus on smaller organizations. You know, in Vancouver, we just raised some money for Covenant House, and we do a lot of, we, you know, did a show last year, and we donated a lot of the money from the show to the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. So, like, just always picking stuff. You know, like, I think gay stuff and women's stuff is our big focus, but we also raised a ton of money for Haiti, you know, donated a bunch of stuff to Doctors Without Borders, and, you know, I mean, we're really sensitive to trying to spread it out. Spread the love.
Spread the love, exactly. How do you see music being a vehicle for positive change now and in the future?
Well, I mean, I think obviously as it's been proven with all these, like, you know, telethons that happen every time there's, you know, a natural disaster. I mean, celebrities and musicians and artists and actors and directors, and, you know, they have the ear of the media, and ultimately that's where I think we're able to get, you know, our message out and drive people to, you know, get involved and make change. And so as a musician, you know, on a smaller level, I feel like I'm standing on stage and I have the ability to, you know, remind people to be involved or to make change or to donate their money to whatever organization we think that, you know, deserves that money. And I think that attaching music to events like, you know, doing these, like, you know, mixtape discs, you know, where they, you know, have artists record music to sell to raise money for organizations. I know they did it for Haiti and they did it for Katrina as well. And I think that, you know, that's a great way to get people, to motivate people. I mean, I hate to use the word, like, you know, incentivize them, because I would hope that people would be incentivized to help just to help. But obviously attaching an item to, you know, some sort of charity is always a great way to ensure that people get involved and donate money. So I think music will continue to sort of be the soundtrack to these kinds of events, you know.
We rock! said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. The turtle wished that it could fly really high into the sky, over rooftops, and then dive deep into the sea. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And the flower would be its offering of love to the desert, and the desert so dry and lonely that the creatures all appreciate the effort. Hey, the jackalope, buddy, said, I wish I had hands so I could hug you like a man. And then the cactus said, but don't you understand? My skin is covered with sharp spikes that'll stab you like a thousand knives. A hug would be nice, but hug my flower with your eyes. So the flower said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. The turtle wished that it could fly really high into the sky, over rooftops, and then dive deep into the sea. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And in the sea there is a fish that has a secret wish, a wish to be a big cactus with a pink flower on it. And the flower would be its offering of love to the desert, and the desert so dry and lonely that the creatures all appreciate the
switch a dial. I said, do not switch a dial.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 Vancouver.
Just got me worried, such awful thoughts. My head's a carousel of pictures. The spinning never stops. I just want someone to walk in front, and I'll follow the leader. Like when I fell under the weight of a schoolboy crush, started carrying her books and doing lots of drugs. I almost forgot who I was, but came to my senses. Now I'm trying to be assertive, I'm making plans. One rise to the occasion and meet all their demands. But all I do is just lay in bed and hide under the covers. Yeah, I know I should be brave, but I'm just too afraid of all this change. And it's too hard to focus through all this doubt. I keep making this to-do list, but nothing gets crossed. Working on the record seems pointless. I'm trying to take some comfort in written words. Yeah, Tim, I heard your album, it's better than good. When you get off tour, I think we should hang and black out together. Cause I've been feeling sentimental for days gone by. All the summer singing, drinking, laughing, wasting our time. Remember all the songs and the way we smile in those basements made of music. But now I've got to crawl to get anywhere at all. I'm not as strong as I thought. Predetermined, can't change your destiny. Guess I'll just keep moving. Someday, maybe I'll get to where I'm going.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we're nearly at the end of the Are You Aware mixtape and interview with Tegan from Tegan and Sarah. But we are not finished yet, so enjoy. On Are You Aware, we ask our artists that come in and interview with us to choose three songs that inspire them to be involved in positive change. And then they get to choose one of their own songs that mirror their sentiments around social justice. So can you tell us about your song choice, Tegan? And was it difficult to choose? Because I always get that it's difficult to choose from the artists.
Oh, my God, it's so hard. I mean, I think it's also hard because as an artist, like, I recognize, like, people come up to us and will say, like, oh, I love your tree song. I have this song off our first record called Our Trees, and they're like, it's like a political song. And I'm like, it's not really a political song. I mean, it was about how my girlfriend lived in a different suburb than I did, and I hated my suburb. But, you know, you don't want to taint someone's opinion of your music. Like, if that inspires you and makes you feel political, then that's awesome. And I'm a political person, so I'm, like, really, like, oh. So it was really stressful, to be honest, because I was like, okay, well, I'm picking songs that are what I would think are political songs, or artists that, I picked songs, you know, from artists that are political, but, you know, it's nerve-wracking to sort of project onto an artist and say, this is their political song, because it's like, well, what if it's not?
I'm sorry we got you so stressed.
No, it's good, though. I really enjoyed it, so. Should I just tell you about what songs I, after nights of sleeplessness, what I picked?
Yes, please, tell the audience.
Okay, well, I picked, my first song was Cliché Guevara by Against Me. I mean, obviously, they're a really political band, and anybody that listens to their music projects that onto them. I mean, the last couple years, the last few records have been more poppy, but they definitely still have that spit and grit that I like from, you know, political bands. And I love, you know, they talk a lot about Florida politics, but also about, you know, homelessness and, you know, like teen suicide and all sorts of things over the years. They've gotten involved in lots of different political, social change, you know, issues and festivals and stuff. So, but I love their second record, As the Eternal Cowboy, and Cliche Guevara is off that record, and I wouldn't dare try to sum up what that song means to me or to them, but they're a great band, and for people who are politically minded, I'm sure they probably already know Against Me, but if you don't, you should check them out. Then I picked Tree Hugger from Kimmy Dawson, and I don't know Kimmy that well, but I know she's also, the two times that we've played shows with her, they've been political sort of based shows, so I know that she's a political artist, and I follow her on Twitter, or did until she just jumped off of it because she thought that it was a waste of time. But she's like such an incredible spirit and really politically minded and always involved in social change. And this song specifically, I don't know, her music just makes me want to cry. It's just so sweet and so genuine. And I love this song in particular. And I have to admit that I picked it because I thought it was funny that she had a tree song as well.
Synchronicity.
Yeah. And then I picked Bright Eyes, Nothing Gets Crossed Out. This actually is one of my favorite songs of his, and he's so political and so outspoken. And we work a lot with Neil Young's manager, Elliot Roberts, who has managed Neil Young for 30 years, and obviously they've been through so many ups and downs and lots of political stuff, and they were the ones that told us about Bright Eyes and how important he was. And I love that he's outspoken. I love that he says what he feels. I love that he gets involved in so much stuff. And, you know, the part of the world where he comes from is really rough, and there's so much poverty, and there's still so much racism and homophobia, and, like, they're just, you know, that whole group, that Settle Creek Records group, they're just so political and so outspoken, and it's really inspiring. So, and this just happens to be one of my favorites of his. So,
and then your last song, which was your guy's song, I Was Married.
Yeah, which I was gonna pick Our Trees, but then I was like, I'm gonna try to pick something less obvious. So I picked I Was Married. I Was Married was the first track off of our last record, and still to this day is to me the most obvious political song we've ever written. I mean, there's lots of political stuff in our music because we, you know, write about the struggle of being gay and being women and, you know, being in this industry that's so male-dominated and so heterosexual, you know, so many women being pushed to be sexy and whatever. So, but this song specifically, Sarah was writing about the gay marriage debate, you know, she was with an American girl for almost 6 years, and they applied for residency and line of immigrant status for her partner, and they ended up getting granted that, but Sarah wrote this song about the day that they, you know, stepped out of the courthouse, basically. I mean, it was less dramatic than that, but they kind of stepped out, and they've been, you know, Emmy was a citizen, and it should have been, like, a really exciting, amazing moment, but they both were so emotional about it because their experience sitting in this office, like, you know, with all these other people, most of them who didn't speak very good English, filling out these forms, and a year of, like, you know, doctor's appointments and FBI background checks. And, you know, you have to, like, Sarah and Emmy had to prove their entire relationship was valid and that they weren't, you know, they applied as common law. And, like, there's just this whole thing. And it all bubbled up to this one moment. They went in, met with the people, and they were like, okay, great. Well, you're now a Canadian citizen. Welcome to Canada. And it was just like, that was it. And Sarah said that, you know, she sort of summed up, like, standing on the street after this happened and the feeling inside of her, this idea that all they really wanted was to be together, you know, and there were so many people in the world, like, would hate that hate the idea of two women or two men being together, and that their love, like, was like magnets, and that they couldn't help themselves, and that it's something in them, and that, you know, we're born this way, and this idea that people would try to break them apart and that they would hate them for this was just something they couldn't understand, and all of that came rushing over Sarah as she stepped out after they, you know, found out that Emmy would be a citizen. So, and I Was Married was born out of that. So I think that's, like I said, the most blatantly political song we've ever released.
I'm married in the sand. Tell me where, tell me where. Against the stone of buildings built before. You and I were born.
Start again, start again.
Into my heart confusion grows, I guess. The muscles fought so long.
So
to her brother, magnets.
so much for talking today, and I think I speak for so many Vancouverites and music fans around the world. Please keep doing what you're doing. We wish you all the success in the world for you and your sister. You guys are amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I hope that all of this was good. I feel not very articulate currently, but I hope that the message is clear. You know, teens are the band, and us as people, we definitely are all for social change, and we're inspired by Vancouver. I am so inspired by how much political activity happens there, and I find Vancouverites to be, you know, in general, really amazing, open-minded people, and very proud to be living there. So.
Are you tired of spending your hard-earned money on CDs, compact discs, I mean, DVDs even, whatever, anything that might be better with radio-ness? I'm sick of listening to music without any funny quips in between. No commercials, I mean, come on, what about
Jay,
and
Mark,
and
Jason,
the Bear, all those guys? Now you'll never have to miss out on crazy
Mark Farabee
and
Jason
the Bear
Paulette,
because
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver
has come up with their own label. That's right. You can listen to music and never have to listen to... You can listen to music and never have to miss out on the radio-ness.
Listen to Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m. on 101.9 CITR with your hosts, Mark Farabee
and Jason Paulette.
Do you want to have your music played? Have your horoscope read, or just
give us some random advice?
Send us an email at fridaysunrise@vanmusic.ca or call us during the show at 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And you just heard Tegan from Tegan and Sarah do an interview with us and a mixtape. Wow, what an amazing woman and just such a great advocate for social change and so eloquent. It was really interesting what she had to say about Proposition 8 and also how the music industry is going and, you know, just some really interesting and thought-provoking stuff. It was such a joy to talk to her, and I, like I said, I wish them all the success in their world. Now, I just wanted to back announce what Tegan chose for the Are You Aware mixtape. The first song that she chose was by Against Me from their album Against Me as the Eternal Cowboy, and the song was called Cliche Guevara. The second song was by Kimya Dawson and Antsy Pants from their album Antsy Pants, and the song was Tree Hugger. The third song she chose was Bright Eyes from their album Your Ear to the Ground with Nothing Gets Crossed Out. And then, of course, the last song that she chose and was told us about Sarah's Poor Ordeal, that was from their album The Con, and the song was I Was Married. So once again, I wish to thank Tegan for taking the time out of her busy schedule to talk to us and tell us some really interesting stuff. I hope you enjoyed it, because I enjoyed talking to her and again listening to the interview. Now, we've only got a couple of 10 more minutes before the show ends, so I'm gonna step it up a bit with Talib Kweli. His new album with Talib Kweli and High Tech are called Reflections Eternal, from their album Revolutions Per Minute, another high rotation album for us here on Are You Aware? But what can we say? It's damn good. So this is called Ballad of the Black Gold on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver.
Cowboy with a lasso is deeper than a black hole. Create monopolies, except they collect a fee when you pass go. Crisis international, the government de facto. We got no control of this fiasco. Darker than the back roads, bubble hotter than Tabasco. More than what you bargained for, asphalt.
You never see happy, hungry people that ain't rational. They blasted through the
the gates and they attack you at the capital. Run up in your palace, find a head to stay to crack a few. Get a taste of power, then they become fascists too. The fiscal conservatives don't know what their purpose is. Spend money on the war, then they cut your goods and services. Murderous corporate monsters is breaking records. Exxon's at $40 billion a year. They raking in record profits. Stop it. How they banking while the oil industry is tanking? Leadership is sinking. Up pollution in the water stanking. Loyalty to petroleum royalty spoil the economy. We won't get it popping till we oil free. If your oil rich, then we invaded. They call it occupation, but we losing jobs across the nation. Drill, baby, drill, while they make our soldiers kill, baby, still. The desert where the blood and oil spills.
This is the ballad of the black gold. They call it Texas tea. But it's bigger than a cowboy with a lasso. It's deeper than a black hole. Create monopolies, except they collect a fee when your pass go. Crisis international, the government de facto. We got no control of this fiasco. Don't get in the back roads. Bubble hotter than Tabasco. More than what you bargain for.
Nigeria is celebrating 50 years of independence. They still feel the colonial effects of Great Britain's presence. Dictators quick to imitate the West. Got in bed with oil companies and now to place a mess. Take a guess which ones came and violated. They oiled up the soil. The Ogoni people was almost annihilated. But still, they never stayed silent. There was activists and poets using nonviolent tactics that was catalyst for soldiers to break into their crib. Take them from the kids to try to break them like a twig and make examples of the leaders. Executed Sarah Weaver, threw Fela's mom out the window right after they beat her in an effort to defeat hope. Now the people feet soaked in oil, so the youth is doing drive-bys and speedboats. They kidnap the workers, they're blowing up the pipelines. You see the fires glowing in the nighttime. Yeah.
This is the ballad of the black gold. They call it Texas tea. But it's bigger than a cowboy with a lasso. It's deeper than a black hole. Create monopolies, except they collect a fee when your pass go. Crisis international, the government de facto. We got no control of this fiasco. Darker than the back roads. Bubble hotter than Tabasco. More than what you bargain for.
History, a slippery creature. It's full of plot twists and surprise endings like a mystery feature. This oil shit is slicker than preachers. It make the problems in the region amplified like victory speeches. Poison the water, lead the voice to the slaughter. Go in somebody country, rearrange the order and destroy the borders. You see him dancing through the fields of fire. World domination, the real desire. The devil is still a liar.
This is the ballad of the black gold. They call it Texas tea. But it's bigger than a cowboy with a lasso. It's deeper than a black hole. Create monopolies, except they collect a fee when your pass go. Crisis international, the government de facto. We got no control of this fiasco. Darker than the back roads. Bubble hotter than Tabasco. More than what you bargain for.
Thank you. chasing all I do. Sometimes it's so hard to believe it, but God, I know you have your reasons.
They said he's busy, hold the line, please. Call me crazy, I thought maybe he could mind read. Who does the blind lead? Show me a sign, please. If everything is made in China, are we Chinese? And why do haters separate us like we Siamese? Technology turning the planet into zombies. Everybody all in everybody's dirty laundry. Acid rain, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Terrorists, crime sprees, assaults and robberies. Cops yelling, stop, freeze, shoot them before we try to leave. Air quality so foul, I gotta try to breathe. Endangered species and we running out of trees. If I could hold the world in the palm of these hands, I would probably do away with these anomalies. Everybody checking for the new award nominees. Wars and atrocities, look at all the poverty. Ignoring the prophecies, more beef and broccoli. Corporate monopoly, weak world economy. Stock market toppling, mad marijuana, Oxycontin and Klonopin. Everybody out of it, out of it, out of it. Jam payment plan. Well, I'm in the world of entertainment and trying to keep a singing man sane for the paying fans. If I don't make it through the night, slight change of plans. Harp strings, angel wings, and praying hands. Lord, forgive me for my shortcomings, for going on tour and ignoring the court summons. All I'm trying to do is live life to the fullest. They sent my daddy to you in a barrage of bullets. Why is the world ugly when you made it in your image? And why is living life such a fight to the finish? For this high percentage, when the sky's the limit, a second is a minute, every hour's infinite.
Listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver, and we're literally 1.5 minutes away from ending the show. I hope you enjoyed the Tegan interview from Tegan and Sarah. I know I did and loved talking to her. You heard at the top of that set, what was it, Talib Kweli and High Tech, who are Reflections Eternal, with their song Ballad of the Black Gold from their new album Revolutions Per Minute. And then we just heard the famous Roots with their song Dear God 2.0 from their new album How I Got Over. Well, I hope you all enjoy your week, and I will see you next week without Christian, unfortunately. And now we have Exquisite Corpse with Bleak. So have a good week, guys, and I'll see you next week, or I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Now.
About is Bleak.
Is that so?
Oh.
don't feel that is. I mean, just take a look around.
Fleet brought this from me a year ago, man. This is a rare out of print bird.
Look, I'm a delivery man making deliveries. And any static, take it up with Bleak.
Bleak, two E's, one K. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a fine musician. As well, a very dear friend. Please give a warm welcome to Mr. Bleak.
Okay, yeah, we're in the studio this week. Believe it or not, here I am. This is Exquisite Quartz Radio on CITR 101.9 Vancouver. I am your host, DJ Bleak, in with you for an hour and a half of experimental sound collage, and this week in particular, field recordings. In sort of a field recording documentary style. I was gone the last couple weeks previously, and was down in Washington State at my wonderful mother's house, and she allowed me to build something that's been kind of a dream of mine for a long time. For some reason, I've been wanting to build a treehouse that I can enjoy myself and that other people, including the kids in my life, can go down and see and have fun, and if they so choose. And so that's what we're going to present to you tonight, the documentary on building of a treehouse in Fort Orchard, Washington. So stay tuned for that. That should be, I don't know, I hope it's a lot of fun. I hope you get something out of it, because it sure was interesting for me. I should, I have an ad to play, and I'm having trouble finding it. That's a little inside baseball for you. So I think I'm going to try and look for that, and then we'll be right back with the documentary coming up. So stay tuned, kids.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. CITR 101.9 FM and Bad Bird present the Main Street Vinyl and Arts Fair, Sunday, August 22nd at the Lunar Lounge, third floor of Planet Bingo, two blocks south of Main and Broadway. Buy, sell, trade new and used vinyl, 7 inches, LPs, and even cassettes. Check out wares from some of Vancouver's most talented young artists and jewelers, featuring live music from CITR DJ Luke Meat. Go to CITR.ca or badbird.tv for details. The Main Street Vinyl and Arts Fair, Sunday, August 22nd, noon to 6 p.m., third floor of Planet Bingo, two blocks south of Main and Broadway.
Well, I see you there!
And that sounds like fun, eh? All right, building a treehouse. Our feature documentary presentation. Ego type feature this evening. I don't know, I'm a loss for words. Just listen. Okay.